whatsoever will. Let him come.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study. Tonight we have a special treat. My good friend, who I met in Vancouver 9 years ago at a pastor's conference, my friend Pat Seeler. It was interesting, there was four of us that moved from the States to Eastern Ontario within months of each other to start churches like this. And my friend Pat was one of those. He's been on a wild ride since then, but now has been in Oakville for the last 4 years, pastoring the church down there. He's a phenomenal Bible teacher. I don't want to blow him up too much, but we got blessed at camp this week, and it is a joy to turn over the pulpit and the mic to my friend Pat tonight and let him share.
Well, it's so good to be here with you all today. Andy has been, and his family, it just has been a tremendous encouragement to my wife and I and to our children. Our daughters, I think, are probably best friends. How much time do I have, Andy? 2 hours? Praise the Lord. All right. And I don't know if I would be where I am today if it wasn't for Andy. He's like I mentioned, he's been a really big encouragement to my family, to myself. So it's an honor. It's a real big honor to be here with you. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, and then also to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. So Exodus chapter 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When Andy texted me and said, would you be available on this day to come and teach? And, you know, every once in a while as a pastor, you know, you get that question, you know, can you come and teach if they find you're going to be in the area or whatever it might be. But then Andy did something that's never happened to me before. He said, you can pick anything from Exodus, I think, 12 to 19 or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, that's nobody's ever. See, usually when they ask you to come and speak, they'll either let you say whatever you want or they'll give you a specific text or a specific topic. And I had no idea what was happening here. And so after a few days, I'm like, Andy, why do I have to pick something from these several chapters? and then he said, well, because our church is reading through the scriptures. And what we do on Saturday night is we take a text from the portion that we're reading. And I hope you're doing that. I hope you're participating in the plan of reading through the scriptures. You can't be a healthy Christian without spending time in God's word. You can't have a healthy marriage without spending time together with your spouse in God's word. You can't have healthy, spiritually healthy children without getting God's word into them. And so whether it's the Bible reading plan that your pastor has initiated or whether it's your own plan, in some way, you need to be in God's word. That's how you grow. That's how you mature in the faith. And so I would just encourage you to be part of that. Let's read together Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp between Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you. Please help us to quiet our minds. Please help us to be still in our spirits. And Lord Jesus, we are here because we want to meet with you. And we know that often the place that we do that is in the pages and the principles of your holy word. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters here in this room tonight, Lord. I pray that we would lay aside every distraction, every event, all the good news, all the bad news, the struggles, Lord, and may we just for this time give you our full attention. Lord, may our hearts be opened to hear what your Spirit would say to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1824, Peru won its freedom from Spain. And the general that was largely responsible for that was a man named Simon Bolivar. He led the liberating forces. And after Peru was free, he called for a convention that this new country might draft a constitution. The people of Peru were very appreciative of Simon Bolivar, and so they gave him a gift of of 1 million pesos, which was an extremely large amount of money, a small fortune in those days, actually a very large fortune. And Bolivar accepted this gift, but then he asked those giving it to him, "How many slaves are there in Peru?" And they said, "There's 3,000 slaves in Peru." And he said, "How much is the price of a slave?" And the answer came back, 350 pesos for an able-bodied man. "Then," said Bolivar, "I will add whatever is necessary to this sum of 1 million pesos that you have given me, and I will buy all the slaves in Peru, and I will set them free, for it makes no sense to free a nation and not have all of the citizens enjoy freedom as well." And it blessed my heart to hear of the efforts that your church is making in human trafficking. And today we know that there are thousands upon thousands of people still in slavery, almost unthinkable. For I can't think of any other situation that would be so despairing, so despicable, so desperate than to be caught in slavery. No options whatsoever. The children of Israel, as you have been reading, were in slavery. They were being forced to labor. They were in bondage. They were beaten. They were harassed. But they cried out to God. And brothers and sisters, whenever in the scriptures you see someone cry out to God, God answers. And he raises up a deliverer. And I wonder how many women, How many even men today that are stuck in a life of slavery are crying out to God, and perhaps it's our efforts that are going to bring them out of their situation. But here, as these precious people, the children of Israel, cried out to the Lord raised up a man named Moses, and Moses led them out of Israel by God's mighty hand. As of course, you know all of these plagues that the Lord sent to Egypt. And so now you have close to 2 million people that once were bound, and now they're free. Could you imagine the joy in their hearts as they're walking through the desert with this newfound freedom, enjoying what God has just done? And of course, the scriptures say that God gave them the spoil of many of the Egyptians. So here they have these possessions and their animals and their children, their boys and their girls, husbands and wives, and perhaps they're singing and they're going through the desert, but they made a mistake, you see. They should have gone straight, but they turned right. And they went south. They should have gone due east into this land that God was promising them, but they went south. Now, I said they made a mistake, but they were doing exactly what God was leading them to do. You see, I have found in my walk as a believer, and this is just confirmed all through Scripture, that sometimes God does things in our lives that don't make sense. Can I get an amen? How many of you has the Lord led you to do something, put you in a situation, and you're like, God, this does not make sense. Why are we going down here when your promised land is over there? God did it so that he would glorify himself. God put them in a tough situation so that they would glorify himself. So that God would glorify themselves. And even as my wife Janet and I were here listening to these wonderful testimonies of a new pregnancy, a couple that's engaged, a couple missionaries that are going off, and all of these wonderful things that are happening, the original title of my message was No Way Out, really geared towards those that are in difficult, struggling situations where you're just caught in a situation. You think there's just no way out. And I'm thinking, Lord, look at what you're doing in this church. Maybe this isn't the right message. But you know what? I know that there's people here who are in situations and you feel there's no way out. Because we hear the glorious testimonies. But how many of you are thinking, I wish that was me holding that microphone? I wish I could share a story about what God has done in my life, because frankly, I don't see God doing anything in my life. Frankly, I'm stuck in a marriage that I don't want to be in. I know it's wrong to get a divorce, but truth be told, I wish I could get out of this, but I'm not going to, because God, it's not in your word, and you feel like there's just no way out. God's not going to change my spouse. I've been praying for years. Maybe you're stuck in a job, and maybe you're in a job where your boss is just hammering you. And maybe I need a job. I have to provide for my family, but this is just unbearable. Maybe you wish you had a job. And you're in a thing, I've been looking and I've been searching and I've been online every day. I'm trying to be faithful. God, I'm trying to please you. But God, I just need work. I need a job. Maybe you've got an addiction problem. And nobody knows about it. And you're struggling. You feel like there's no way out. Maybe you want to get married. And you've tried and you've dated, but you think that maybe nobody could love you. Listen, God, I think, has put you in that situation to show himself strong on your behalf. He's put you in that situation so that he will glorify himself. These children of Israel, they've got this mountain on one side and a mountain on the other side and this huge body of water, and they're not there to go water skiing, folks. You know, they're not there on vacation. And they've got this fiery army coming after them. And they're in a situation where there's no way out. Unless God shows up, their freedom is gone. Unless God shows up, unless something happens in this story, man, they're literally dead. They're literally dead. So what happens? Verse 13, Moses, by the way, he didn't apply for this job. He wasn't like top of his class out of the seminary, and he sent his resume to the children of Israel, and they said, yeah, we'll take Pastor Moses. And this was God's call in his life. So they know that they're in a desperate situation. They know that if God doesn't show up, they're probably not even thinking if God doesn't show up. They're just thinking, okay, that was nice. You kind of dangle that little carrot of freedom, and we get a few hours, maybe a few days, maybe a week or so of freedom, and now we're just going to die here in the wilderness. And Pastor Moses says this to them. And this is what I want God's word to be for you if you're in this situation. And by the way, if everything's going well for you, which for many of you it is, there are people in your life that are desperately in need of some encouragement. There are people in your life that feel that they are stuck and there's no way out. And so I want you to take what God's word says today and share it with them and encourage them, because the best thing you can do to encourage others is to give them God's word. And you could say, do you know that the Bible says this? And then you share it with them and they say, I've never read the Bible, but boy, that sure did encourage me, because God's word doesn't return void. So what did God say to these people? No way out. First thing, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Can you say those four words with me? Do not be afraid. Now, if you're like me and you have a hard time remembering that, because you need to remember this, here's two words, fear not. Say that, fear not. From Genesis to Revelation, you will see that God is constantly telling his people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many times did Jesus say, do not be afraid, O you of little faith? All over the Bible, God's word says, don't be afraid. Do you know fear? God doesn't want you to be afraid. God doesn't want you to live in fear. Let me make an exception to that. If you're sleeping with your boyfriend or sleeping with your girlfriend, if you're cheating on your wife, if you're lying to your pastor, you need to be afraid. You better be afraid. You better have a good dose of the fear of God. That's just a little aside. But if those things aren't true in your life, don't be afraid. Now, 2 million people going through the desert, and God says, don't be afraid. Pastor Moses says, I know you think you're going to die here, but don't be afraid. It's almost preposterous. Fear is the opposite of faith in many times, as we see in the scripture. Do a study of fear and faith sometime in the Gospel of Mark, for example, and see how many times they're juxtaposed to each other. One theologian said this, fear is generated by unbelief, and unbelief strengthened by fear. Nothing can cure us of fear till God cures us of unbelief. The Lord is the strength of my life. I will not be afraid. And so, if you struggle with fear, get into God's word and allow his word to build you up. Pastor Chuck Swindoll tells the story of a time where he and his wife were on vacation, I believe in California. He was there speaking. They went to a hotel, a beachfront hotel there to check in for the night. And about 11:30, they went to bed. They had a first floor room with a sliding glass door that opens right out onto the beach. And about 1 a.m., his wife wakes up screaming, Chuck, there's a man in our room! And he wakes up and he sees that the glass door has been open and the curtain from the ocean breeze is blowing. And sure enough, of course, the room is dark and there is a man dressed all in black standing silently there, right there in the room. Chuck Swindoll gets out of bed and he walks right up to him and stands nose to nose and yells at him and screams at him and says, get out of here! And the guy slowly backed up and he turned and he ran off. Now, folks, sometimes when you're faced with a fearful situation, it's not time to pull the covers over your head and just you know, chatter your teeth and say, oh, honey, could you please get up and go take care of that? No, there are times when you will be in a situation that just demands courage. And you better just get out of bed and exercise courage. And just do not be afraid. Just look at it head on. And the only way to get over your fear is to step out in faith, do what God's called you to do, and use some courage. What else did Moses say to him? Do not be afraid. And then notice this. Stand still. Now I'm reading from the New King James. I know you guys read the ESV. What does ESV says there? Do not be afraid. What does it say? Stand. Stand firm. Okay, stand firm, stand still. It's actually one word in the Hebrew, the word yatsab, and it means stand. it's actually the same word used in Psalm 2 where it says the kings of the earth took their stand against the Lord. It's the same word in the Hebrew that's used of Goliath when it says Goliath stood against the children of Israel when he stood in defiance of the Lord. So do you get the picture? This isn't a sip your latte kind of stand as you're leaning next to a wall. No, this is a military stand. This is I am waiting for the puck to drop, and when it drops, I'm going to hit it. This is like I am standing and I am ready. Stand still. And so listen, how does this apply to us? If you're in a tough situation, if you're in a situation where you just, it just, there's no way out here, God, what in the world have you gotten me into? It's not time to just say, que sera, sera, and let me just sit down and wait for God to show up. No, it means you need to be ready. It means that you need to be ready for the Lord to move. It means you don't need to be lazy. Laziness has no place in the life of a believer. You can't be lazy. It means that you need to stand in God. It means you need to stand in God's word. It means you can't run from your situation. I've been trying to minister to an old friend of mine online recently. And he's had some tough things happen to him, some very difficult things. And he's ready to just check out. He just sent me a message saying, listen, I'm just going to quit my job, hop in my car, and drive to Florida. Folks, that is not standing. That is running. And God says, if you're in a situation and you've got these two obstacles, these three obstacles and this army, listen, just stand. Don't be afraid. Just stand still. Endure. Perseverance. God often brings trials into our life to test our faith. Did you know that? God often brings trials and difficulties into your life to develop perseverance, to develop patience, to develop faithfulness. And so you don't need to ask God why anymore. He's doing it to develop you, to grow you up. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. But don't be afraid. Stand. Listen, one day, folks, it's all going to make sense. One day you are going to see Jesus face to face. And I don't think you'll have any questions. So often we say, well, I'll ask the Lord when I get to heaven and I've got these questions and this question. I don't think you're going to have any questions. I think you'll see the face of your Savior and it will just make sense. It'll be glorious. I asked you to open to 2 Chronicles. I want you to see how the Lord fights our battles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here's what's happening. The king of Judah is a man named Jehoshaphat. And he's in a very difficult situation. He's got the armies of Ammon and the armies of Moab coming against him with others as well. And it's called a great multitude. They're coming against him. And Jehoshaphat's afraid, but he didn't pull the covers over his head and wait for the enemy to go away. What did he do? He sought the Lord. Look in verse 3, 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. That's a good thing to do when you're standing in the middle of a trial. Seek the Lord. Get people fasting for you. And they all get together and they seek the Lord. And there's a beautiful prayer. You can read it later from verse 6 all the way down there till about the middle of the chapter where they're just crying out to the Lord. They're just praying and asking the Lord. Here they're faced with this situation and they're going to get wiped out. There's no way they can defeat this army. But look how he ends his prayer there in, in verse 12. He says, "Oh God," the end of verse 12, he says, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Isn't that beautiful? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You see, I make the mistake sometimes. I don't know what to do, so let me do something. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to try to fix it. I'm just going to try to figure it out. No. If you don't know what to do, put your eyes upon the Lord and pray and stand. Don't be lazy. Just stand. Do not be afraid. Of course, the New Testament picture is Ephesians 6, isn't it? You know the passage. Take up the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand after you've done everything. Just stand. Stand therefore. And then it goes through this description of the army, but it's just standing ready. Okay, Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to stand. But then now back to Exodus 14. Actually, I'm sorry. I hope you still have 2 Chronicles 20. I forgot to read these verses. This is just amazing. You can't leave tonight without reading these verses. So go back to 2 Chronicles 20. You got to see how the Lord answered this prayer. Their eyes were upon the Lord. And then look at verse 14, 2 Chronicles 20. If you're not there, I'll just read it to you. Just pay attention. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of that guy, and that guy, and that guy, and that guy, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, verse 15, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz." And so the Lord gives them some information there. "And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." And then look at this. This is beautiful. "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem." And God says it again because he knows they are afraid. "Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Glorious. Read the whole story when you go home and apply that in your own life, in your own situation, in your own battle. So, do not be afraid. Stand still. And then the third thing that Moses tells them is, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So be not afraid, stand still, see the salvation. See the salvation. What's happening here? I believe this is Moses saying, listen, God is the one that's going to do this. Just take a look at your salvation. Sometimes when we're in these desperate situations, there's no way out, you'd think that we forget that we're saved. But look, if nothing else is true, are you saved? Has God saved you? Has God done a miracle? Is that not a miracle in your life? I would love to go around and hear the stories of how God saved you, because you did not save yourself. Oh, you responded. God called you and you responded. You exercised faith in being saved. And sometimes we need to remember that, because it's easy to forget. Listen, if God can save you, he can get you out of just about anything, can't he? If God can save you, he can bring you a wife. If God can save you, he can bring you a husband. If God can save you, he can provide the money to pay that mortgage payment. If God can save you, he can work in the heart of your boss. Now, he may want you to stand still for a long time, but God can do it. God can do it. In the Bible, you'll see, if you haven't already, that Egypt is really a type of the world. It's oftentimes contrasted with the things of the world. In other words, our life before we're Christians. By that I mean, you know, worldly passions, worldly desires, fleshly desires, things that are not good for us, things that are not holy. That's often a type of Egypt. And so here, I believe, what we can draw from this, from the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll see again no more forever. Listen, you're saved. Remember your salvation. I'm bringing you out of Egypt. You know, I love springtime. We were at Camp Iowa This last week, our windows open in our room there, and as the sun's coming up, you hear these birds. And actually, as you're going to bed, you hear some other creatures. I'm not quite sure what they were. But if you listen very carefully, it's kind of like a, I don't know, are those wolves or something out there? I don't know what they are, but it's kind of some cool sounds. Maybe it was some of the counselors just trying to play with my mind a little bit. But I love springtime because you hear the chirping of the birds, and there's so many different types of little birds. There was like, cheep, 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 and then, coo, 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 coo. Like all these cool little bird sounds. I've never seen a bird pushing a shopping cart through Sobeys. They don't really worry about where they're going to get their food from. You know, I've never seen a bird standing in line at an ATM to get some money to go buy some. God takes care of them. If God takes care of these birds, do you think he's going to leave you begging for bread? God's going to take care of you. God's gonna manage your life. The flowers, the plants, the trees, they don't strain, they don't strive. God takes care of them, and we need to believe in the Lord and trust in the Lord. And we need to look to our salvation in the sense that I remember I'm saved, God, I'm the Lord's. You see, that's why you're saved. You're saved because he loves you. And you're his now. You're his son. You're his daughter. He loves you. He didn't just save you just to say, okay, well, there's my little trophy. Now I'm going to go save. No, he wants to have a relationship with you. He's going to take care of you. And so we need to remember this. I absolutely love some of the songs that the worship folks led us in. There was one song, I don't think I've heard it too many times, but it was something about how God will deliver us, or he's our deliverer. He's our deliverer, and that is just so true. He delivers us. And so I don't know the extent of the pain that you're going through, that you will go through, but God will deliver you. He will be faithful. He will be faithful. There was one time in our life where we were in a situation that, man, it was just hard. You know, it was one, at least at the time, it was the hardest thing we've ever been through. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And it involved one of our kids, and it was this big medical situation. And I remember thinking, like, there's no way out of this. And this is just going to change the course of our lives. This is, folks, it was desperate, man. It was just, I mean, our hearts were broken. And we had a problem with one of our kids, and he was so sick. And we thought, I mean, he was so miserable. And when we was this, it was a little baby. This, I mean, the Lord delivered us, but at the time I said, there's just no way out. And I remember sitting in a doctor's office. He had this severe feeding problem, right, where he'd eat a little bit and he'd throw up, and he'd eat a little bit and he'd throw up, and he wouldn't keep his growth chart looked like the stock market. You know, yeah. Normally a kid's growth chart is, you know, a nice smooth graph. His growth chart has all these dips. It looks like a roller coaster ride at Canada's Wonderland. It's like this, his growth chart, losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight. Anyhow, we were sitting in this doctor's office one time for this appointment, right in the middle of this trial. And he may have even thrown up right there in the waiting room, which is really embarrassing. But I remember this lady across from us saying, hey, it's going to get better. I didn't believe her. She said, hey, you're gonna get through this. I don't know if the lady knew the Lord or not. I don't know if she was saved, but the Lord was using her in my life. And she's saying, you're gonna get through this. It's gonna get better. See, she had already been through it. And she was absolutely right. I mean, it wasn't too long after that we were sitting in a rib place and our little boy's eating ribs. I mean, see, like this little three-year-old, I think, at the time, was just like eating these ribs. I took a picture of him and I said to my wife, can you believe it? Look what God has done. I mean, for us, folks, this was God parting the Red Sea for us. But in it, it felt like there's no way out. But I knew that I was saved. And if God saved you, he's going to get you through. You see, the problem comes when you look at the circumstances. People trapped in human trafficking today, they're looking at the circumstances. They don't know that they've got a deliverer. And if they cry out, I believe God will send somebody to set them free, as he's doing that all over the world today. But when you're in a difficult situation, if you look at the circumstances, good luck. Good luck. you have to understand the circumstances, but then if you look at the Lord, if you look at Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter what happens on the earthly plane because my eyes are on the Lord and I'm going to see my salvation because Jesus is my salvation. And no matter what happens down here, I'm never going to lose my relationship with Jesus. Job, you take away my family, take away my business, take away my bank accounts, take away all my possessions. You cannot take away my salvation. You cannot take away Jesus. And that's the steady part that we need to keep our eyes upon. So if you're looking at circumstances and they're going bad, understand what they are, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Just be encouraged there. Don't look at that army that's raging, but look at the salvation of the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe you can't remember that verse. Maybe you don't have it memorized. Here's a little short way to say it. When in a fix, Philippians 4, 6. When in a fix, Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. You see, that's how you put your eyes on Jesus, is by praying. You just pray. Put your eyes, just pray to Jesus and get in the Word. Get in the Word of God. See your salvation. So do not be afraid. Stand still. See your salvation. Look at your salvation. And then Moses says, well, actually it goes on, and then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, there comes a time when we need to stop crying and go forward. And so if you're spending too much money on Kleenex, it just may be that you need to put away the Kleenex and put away the self-pity and just go forward. Just take a step of faith. That's the kind of thing that I can say as a guest pastor because I'm leaving and I don't want to offend anybody. But notice, God did not say this to the people, but God said this to Moses. Because it sounds a little harsh, right? Like, why are you crying to me? Just go forward. And Moses is saying, Lord, there's a big body of water right there. What do you mean go forward? And then of course, the Lord gives him the answer, stretch out your hand, and this water is going to part. You see, God gave them the solution. There was no way out, but God made the way. But it was going to require faith, especially on Moses' part. A pastor has a unique situation. He must hear from the Lord for the direction of the ministry that God has called him to. And sometimes the people may not see it, but I just want to encourage you to stay behind Pastor Andy. And God's given him a vision, and God's given him an opportunity to lead you in such a way that I believe glorious things are going to happen in Ottawa. How exciting, the Koinonia conference. I've heard Pastor Sandy Adams teach, listen, if you don't come to that, you will regret it, guaranteed. Cancel everything and be here for Koinonia. I mean, Pastor Sandy Adams, I think, is probably one of the best Bible teachers on the face of the planet today. And I'm not exaggerating that at all. He's just a phenomenal Bible teacher. And so you want to be here for that. And then, of course, the ministry, all these people that need to know Jesus. And you're going to go share the Lord with them. It requires faith. Walking with God requires faith. I mean, sometimes God works when we don't do anything. I mean, sometimes he just does something and we find ourselves totally blessed. Like, God, you got me out of that. Sometimes he works in spite of us working. You know what I mean? Sometimes we mess it up and then God still helps us out by doing something. But usually God works when we exercise faith. There may be something going on in your life that you need to step out in faith. It might be joining a group. It might be getting into one of the groups here at the church so that you can get to know some people and become accountable and grow in your relationship with the Lord. Have you plateaued? You're growing, 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 and then you get to a certain point in your walk with the Lord and you just kind of level out. And you've oh, yeah, I've heard that. Oh, I know that. I've read that verse before. Yeah, I know that. Well, you know what? You're not growing. If you're not growing as a believer, there's a problem. We've got a problem here. And the solution for that is perhaps to get in a group and be challenged, or maybe God's calling you to lead a group. Maybe you need to step out in faith. There's a great verse at the end of Colossians. It says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So Paul's telling him, hey, there's this guy in Colossae. He's got a ministry, but he's not really doing much with it. Maybe he's playing video games. We don't know what he's doing. But he needs to get to work. He needs to get her done, as Mater says in Cars. I have little kids. Maybe you haven't seen that movie. Just get her done. Just do it. Just do something. Step out. Exercise faith. And so, regardless of where you're at, maybe God's word for you is just, listen, don't be afraid. Maybe you're freaking out. Just don't be afraid. Maybe you're at a point where you just need to stand. You just need some courage to stand. Just to stand still and wait. And maybe you're in that waiting phase. Maybe there's a little bit more going on, though, and maybe you need to remember your salvation, see your salvation, have faith that God's going to do something. Do you believe that God's going to do something in your life? Do you believe that God's going to answer a prayer? I mean, do you really trust in him? This is horrible in North America that we have everything that we need, that we really don't need faith anymore. I mean, nobody's going to come in here, and we're not in any danger. If we get hungry, we can just put it on a credit card. We can go to a restaurant. We don't need the Lord, because it's so easy to live life in North America. Maybe you need to exercise faith somehow. Maybe you need to do something. Maybe you need to get involved in a ministry here, or God, I don't know what God's calling you to do, but pray and ask the Lord, saying, Lord, I really want to grow. I really want to be a deeper Christian in the sense of my relationship with the Lord. And what do you want me to do? Because you should always be doing something, in the sense of you should always be exercising faith. If you're not doing anything right now in your life that doesn't require faith, are you pleasing the Lord? I mean, I'm just saying, because Hebrews says without faith it's impossible to please God. And so if there's no exercise of faith in your life right now, I don't know. Are you pleasing? Are you pleasing to the Lord? So maybe you need to get in a group. Maybe there's somebody you need to share your faith with. Maybe you need to look for a job. Maybe you need to quit your job. Now, don't quit your job and then say, the pastor told me to quit my job. I'm not telling anybody to quit their job. But whatever God is calling you to do, maybe you need to become accountable. Just take a step in that direction. How much of the World Cup have you watched? How much have you prayed? We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to grow, because you will encounter people whose lives are just absolutely falling apart. Could be a neighbor. Maybe even as I say that, a name comes into your mind, a face comes into your mind. Who's going to reach them? Who's going to love them? Who's going to show them the love of Jesus? Who's going to tell them, hey, don't be afraid. God can get you out of this. Well, can you give me some money? Man, I can't give you some money, but I can pray for you. I can pray for you. We can ask the Lord together to deliver you from this. God has raised us up to be the hands and feet of Jesus to a world that's falling apart, to people that are broken, to be a light in the darkness. God parts the Red Sea. God does what only God can do, and they go through on dry land. And then when they get to the other side, they worship, and they worship, and they worship some more. So whatever you're going through tonight, and again, if you're having a great season in your life, remember Exodus chapter 14. When you get in that tough situation where there's no way out, come back to Exodus 14. I've got this verse circled in my Bible. And when Pastor Andy asked me to teach on some passage within these pastors, within these chapters, I immediately knew that I needed to come to this verse right here, because this is a verse that's marked that when I get in those despairing times, I can open my Bible to Exodus 14 and say, and read these words, "The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to hold your peace."
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you.
Come through the sun, come by.